In the Garden, number 87 in the Gospel of Luke series. This is an exposition of Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, December the 17th, 2017.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the glory and the wonder of the gospel. The glory and the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. The giving of your Son to give us life eternal and life abundant. Father, I pray now as we gather around your word that you would open it to us. I pray that through your Spirit, your truth would come alive in us. That we would see clearly the glory, the wonder of the gospel. That we might flee to Christ and live. Father, as you speak, may we hear. In the blessed name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Exhausted, they just held each other. The last 9 months had been a blur. They were engaged. In fact, they had entered into that formal period of engagement known as the betrothal. Plans were underway for a big wedding. They were excited about all those things, and as they were planning all the details, it was in the midst of that planning, it was in the midst of thinking about that glorious day that was coming, that an angel paid a visit to Mary. The angel came bearing extraordinary news. She was going to have a child, a boy, but no ordinary boy. She would be the mother of the Messiah. This child was not going to be conceived in the normal course of things. This child would be conceived supernaturally. She was going to give birth to the Son of God. Well, you can imagine, when she brought that news to Joseph, it didn't go too well. Joseph wanted to get out of the marriage. But he wanted to do so as quietly as possible for there to be as little harm done to Mary as possible. That's when Joseph had a visit from his own messenger from God. Everything was true. But the last 9 months had not been easy. The whispers every time they walked down the street. The distance that they now felt from family and friends. And then there was today. After that long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to that precious boy in a stable. In the midst of the stench and the filth. And then these shepherds showed up. With this fantastic tale about their own angel visit and a heavenly chorus. Their heads were just spinning. And Mary kept thinking, what does all this mean? Fast forward 33 years. That child is now a man. He's in a garden. Just outside the city of Jerusalem. For the last 3 years, he's always been surrounded by a crowd. He's had no luck in eluding the crowd that always followed him. Everywhere he went, there were people clamoring, wanting his attention. There were believers and skeptics. There were critics and enemies, all wanting a part of him. He was never alone. But tonight, he is alone. He's alone, laying in a pool of his own blood and crying out in fear. Father, if there's any other way, imagine on the night before his greatest triumph, fear gripped his heart. This is the same Jesus who silenced the wind and the wave with his word. It is the same Jesus who put demons to flight by his command. This is the Jesus who by a touch opened blind eyes, made the lame to walk, and even raised the dead. And now he cries out in terror from a lonely spot in the garden. Our text is found in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 39. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you might not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you're willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared with him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Arise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." It was after his birth, following the period of purification, his parents took him to Jerusalem to, according to the law of God, redeem their firstborn. And it was while they were there in Jerusalem, they came across a man whose name was Simeon. And Simeon had been promised by God that he would not die until he saw with his own eyes the Christ, the Messiah. And having seen the child, he pronounced great blessing. And then he turned to Mary and he said, "This child is appointed for the rising and the falling of many in Israel. And a sword will pierce your soul as well." And again Mary wondered, what does that mean? She will soon know. After the Passover meal, after they had celebrated the final Passover and he instituted the first communion, our Lord and his followers left Jerusalem to go across the Kidron Brook to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. Leaving the city, they would have to cross the Kidron Brook, and our Lord became strangely silent as they approached the brook. And he paused as they crossed and he looked down. That brook, which normally was very low, was a bit higher. And it ran red with the blood of the Passover lambs. And he just stared at it. Moving on, they entered into the garden. He told the disciples to watch and pray. He took Peter, James, and John and went a little further into the garden. And then leaving Peter, James, and John, he went a little bit beyond them and he threw himself to the ground and he began to cry out in pain and agony. Such pain. Such heartache. Everything in me wants to look away. But I can't. Because to look away would be to miss something important. It would be to miss an important revelation. Because our Lord's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane powerfully portrays the majesty and the beauty of our Savior. Three revelations in the garden. Three reasons for why we worship and adore our Savior. First, because our Lord's experience in the garden reveals the absolute horror of the cross. Matthew tells us that entering into the garden, the Lord Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. Mark tells us he was deeply distressed and troubled. The wording demands that we understand that he is overwhelmed with a sense of heartache. He's overwhelmed with a sense of dread. In fact, Mark 14:34 says, the Lord says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." How can that be? How is that possible? We're talking about Messiah. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the second person of the Trinity. How could he be sorrowful? How could he be troubled? How can he be overwhelmed with fear? Celsus, the pagan philosopher, used this as an argument against Christianity. He said, how is it possible for someone who is divine to mourn and lament and to fear death? It's a reasonable question. It's the kind of question that is logical and it demands an answer. Of course, the answer is Jesus was fully God and fully man. It's not a mixture. He's not half God and half man. He's not part God and part man. He's fully God and fully man. He is two natures in one person without mixture or confusion. Can I explain that? No. It's a mystery. Amen. He is eternal, yet he got hungry and tired. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. And yet only the Father knows the day or the hour. Here's what I do know. I know that Jesus knew the wages of sin is death. And he was about to pay those wages in full. I know that he knew that he would bear the judgment of God. I know that he fully understood that he would become sin for us. And I know that Jesus understood that sin would bring the wrath of God upon him. And it's here. It's here in the Garden of Gethsemane that the gravity of the cross began to weigh on him. It's here in the garden that he began to become sin for us. It's here in the garden, he began to know the isolation from the Father. And so in his tormented soul, he cried out, "Father, if there's any other way." Verse 44, Luke, the physician, is the only one to tell us of this condition, but he tells us that he began to sweat great drops of blood. It's a known condition. It's a condition caused by extreme stress. Because the weight of the entire world was upon him in that moment. The pure, spotless Lamb of God was becoming a liar, a cheat, an adulterer, a murderer. Your sin burdened his heart that night. Look at him. Do not turn away. Look at him. Because this is what he did for you. Amen. Your sin did that to him. Behold the absolute horror of the cross. Second, our Lord's experience in the garden reveals the tender compassion of our Savior for his own. You and I really can't even begin to understand the heartache, the pain, the agony that he endured in that moment. You've had your own heartache through the years. Some of you have agonized over wayward children. Some of you have had great sorrow because of grandchildren. Many of you, I know, have spent long hours in hospitals, hoping against hope. Take every burden, every care, and multiply it a million times over. And you've only scratched the surface of what he experienced that moment. As the sin of the world hung over his soul. But wait. Look at verse 45. And when he rose from prayer, came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Sleeping. Can you imagine that? He asked them to watch and pray. And they're sleeping. In Matthew's account, he says, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They fell asleep. They let him down. After 3.5 years of walking with him, after everything that they've seen, after everything that they have experienced, they failed him. Luke says he went a stone's throw away. What that means is, he was close enough that they could see and hear everything. And yet, in the face of such agony, in the face of such distress, they slept. But here's the wonder. He understood. The spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. Pray. Pray that you not enter into temptation. Even at the moment of his greatest need, his concern was for those who belong to him. Don't breeze past that. Don't move quickly beyond that. look at him and understand this is the God we worship. This is the Savior we adore. One last thing. Our Lord's experience in the Garden of Gethsemane reveals the iron-willed determination of our blessed Redeemer. See, when we put together all of the gospel accounts, we know that he prayed three times, "Father, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other possibility, Father, if it can be accomplished in any other way, by any other means, please let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will be done." Complete, absolute, total submission to the will of the Father. In other words, he gladly chose the cross. Amen. Luke tells us that an angel came and ministered to him. And here's the thing. From this moment on, no fear. No dread. Only power and authority as he marches to the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So don't look away from that crumpled body in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at it. Look at it and see something of the horror of the cross. Look at it and understand tender, compassionate love and concern of the Savior for his own. And see the iron-willed determination of our Redeemer. This is the one we love. This is the one we worship and adore. Because this is what he's done for us. And this is the essence of the gospel. Who would have ever thought that night, as Mary held her firstborn, as he laughed and cried and cooed and giggled, as Joseph took his tiny hand in his rough carpenter hand, who would have ever dreamed that one day great iron spikes would be driven through those hands? Who would have ever dreamed that those tiny little feet would one day walk a dusty hill and then be nailed to an instrument of death? He knew. And that's why he came. And that is the wonder and the beauty and the glory of Christmas. Unto us has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the glory and the wonder of Christmas. I thank you for the glory and the wonder of the gospel. The story of how you, as a loving, holy, perfect God, love sinful, stubborn, wicked, rebellious folks like us. So much that you would give your own son to suffer and die in our place. The pure, spotless Lamb of God would take our sin upon himself, bear our sin in his own body on the cross, so that by his wounds we could be cleansed, healed, made whole. Lord, teach us the true wonder of Christmas. In the blessed, wonderful name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.